This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh. Let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
Pleasant good afternoon. Welcome to Tell It to Stanya. That's right. I am she and she is me. And today is Saturday, and in case you just did not know it, at 1:06 p.m., it's actually Saturday. Just want to, before I jump on in, a whole lot of stuff happened this week. I mean, people was ratified. People, look at my co-host. Are you laughing at?
Good afternoon, Bahamas. I'm having a juice, Daniel.
Yeah, man, people was ratified. I mean, people, some ratified, some wasn't ratified. Mm-hmm. Some mad because they wasn't ratified. But it was an interesting week. I saw one of my students, my life coaching students, life coach certification students, Heather was ratified. And listen now, Stanya is not, I'm not affiliated with any political party, okay? None at all. I like Tito Jackson and the Jackson 5. I just, fine, okay. But Heather, and many of y'all should remember Heather, because Heather has hosted the show for me a few times. Heather also came on as a guest. So looking forward to see how, you know, how it goes for her. She's an amazing woman. This is my shameless plug, because I know Heather. But, you know, she's going up against a giant, mind you, in Angliston. But, you know, Heather's a woman who, the first time I met her, honestly, I said, I knew that she would be, I don't want to say somebody, because we are somebody, but she would do big things. And I remember telling her that she had it factor from day one. Mm-hmm. And she's someone who, she doesn't really talk the talk, but she definitely has devoted her life to helping other people, whether or not it was, you know, in YEP or, you know, working one-on-one with people. She's always been very, very dedicated. Nobody give Heather nothing. Heather had to work for that. So that's my shameless plug.
That's her shameless plug.
Yeah, man. That's because she's an Eve's Journey life coaching student. She did the course. And if you want to be a life coach as well, because I can tell you, I have other phenomenal people who did the program who are all doing amazing things. I always tell people that, you know, the women who, and men, because I have a few men who did the program as well, all of them, I understand they could run circles around me in whatever it is that they do. Amazing. I mean, focus, determined. That's my shameless plug. Hello. Now.
And it's okay. You don't got to be shame.
That's right. Hello. I know I don't even sound shame about that. Hello, somebody. So, of course, the person that you would have heard just now, she's my co-host and as well as a guest, and her name is Michaela Forbes.
Hi, Bahamas. I'm Michaela Forbes, the artistic accountant. Don't forget the artistic accountant. Put
some respect on her name. Hello,
yes,
somebody.
Yes.
All right. And she's also the host of a Safe Space podcast. So hopefully you guys would have seen it. And if you haven't, where can they check it out, Michaela?
It's definitely on YouTube at a Safe Space _ podcast. You could check us out from the YouTube channel or Facebook, Instagram. On our Facebook, we are Safe Space Podcast 242, both Facebook and Instagram. But season 3 is coming out in next month. So definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel at the Safe Space _podcast.
Good stuff. So listen now we're here to talk about divorce, believe it or not. And we're going to talk about a purposeful divorce and really what led her to also start a Safe Space podcast. I know I would have seen it. My thing, okay, you're doing an amazing job. Amazing must be the word for today.
Amazing.
Yes, right. Amazing job. But, you know, during before we came on air, you know, we were talking about you being an Amazon, a tall woman.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'm 5'8" and a half. How tall are you, Stanya?
Right. And I was just going to say, and then I'm 5 feet 11
oh,
and a
wow.
half.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Most people, like, maybe because it's radio, so of course they don't see me. Or they see me sitting down, but usually when I stand up or they see me in person, it's mm-hmm. like
they look up.
Listen, I remember I minded my own business buying food, and this gentleman, he was like, "You're a tall tree." Right. And you know, Michael a little fast, because Michael was asking if I dated guys who were taller than.
Yeah. Do you look for guys who are taller, or do you also date guys who are shorter than
who
you?
Shorter? Mm-hmm. I have dated guys who are shorter than I am.
Okay.
Believe it or not. And you know what? The weird, crazy thing is that, okay, I've dated a guy who's like 5'6".
Okay. Okay.
Man, I almost want to say a tall midget. No, I like But honestly, I'll tell you this, though. I felt the two gentlemen who come to mind who I dated, I felt very safe with them.
Really?
Yes.
I have so much questions. Did you wear heels when you went out?
When I went out, sometimes, okay. Yes. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Did they ever try to lift you? Because I'm...
So you're running out
now. That's what I'm saying. I feel like it was funny to lift me. Did they try?
Well, actually, one could lift me.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Yes,
so
one.
That's a plus. That's a plus.
Okay. Yeah, man. So, I mean, and they were... Okay. They were they
so were shout out to the short guys.
That's
who
right.
Can still lift the
short guys. And you know what? I was talking about this with someone this morning, and, you know, we're going to segue into divorce. But so here's the story. I have a male friend, and he's a little short, right? Mm. Not that short, but he's short. So I remember him saying that he went out on this date. He met someone online, and then they met up, and, you know, they had a great time. And the lady was like, well, let's say his name is Bill. Mm-hmm. Well, Bill, you know, we have good conversation. You're attractive and all. You're a good dad, blah, blah, blah. You mm-hmm. have a, you know. But you're so short. I don't know if I could date a short guy. Could you date a short guy?
I can definitely date a short guy if he's serving God and he's the right guy.
You
yes.
can. So
yes.
you're open to it?
I'm very open to it, yes.
So, and here's the thing. So, you know, I'm here trying to empower and inspire Bill, right? So I was like, Bill, you are, word for the day, amazing, okay? And if she doesn't see how,
yes.
you know who you are and has an appreciation for you because you are smart, you are handsome, you're good. And I going on and on with yeah. this, you know? And maybe about a week or two later, I met this petite short guy.
Oh, petite meaning small, he was, yes, slim.
Yes, slim, okay. Very, very, but very, very petite. And I mean, this guy really did like me. Lord, I hope... But I couldn't do it. I couldn't get past it.
So you can't do petite and short?
No.
You got to be either one?
No, man, one little piece of meat, man. Eat one little piece of chicken, man. You got to have one. And now, mind you, the short guys, they weren't, they wasn't, you know, uh-huh. overweight or whatever. But they had a little, they had a little definition
okay.
and they had a
okay.
little a little meat on them. But a petite.
The petite one, petite plus short, my can't lift you. For real, that's what I'm saying. You need somebody who might can lift you.
But there's plenty to lift too, though.
There's plenty to lift, but still, I want you to try. If we end up getting married, I want you to try. Hello.
You got to get lift over the threshold.
Yes. Yes, come on. You got to try.
I don't know. Brittany, would you date a short guy? A guy who's shorter than you?
And okay, petite.
Brittany said, and petite. Yeah. Oh, she said, yeah. Okay, so yeah. you would.
How tall is Brittany?
Brittany, how tall are you? 5'6"?
Six. Okay.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't do that one though.
You I think you should be open.
And then also though, maybe he, Lord, I really could get in. I hope
God might have sent him to you in the pocket just to see if Stanya is open and ready.
I've been failed the test. Listen, Michael, epic fail.
The test come around again. Slim and petite. Just go out on one or two dates and see what happens. Yes.
Well, I honestly, I think maybe it wasn't a connection too, though, because
I
not
think
chemistry,
that's
but yeah, it
I
just wasn't connecting for me because
yeah.
I mean, if you like someone, you like them.
Yes. I think that's it because I went out with a short post my divorce. I started dating and I went out with a short guy and my mom swears I did not like the guy because he's short. No, I didn't like that. You know, nothing to do with the shortness.
Right.
Yes. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's about, and not even chemistry, because you could have good chemistry, and
Yeah.
Chemistry doesn't mean anything to me, and
yeah.
chemistry is something that fades. It's very superficial.
It's definitely not about chemistry. You could have chemistry with so much different people, but it's about connection, and it's about purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm serious. Okay.
And alignment, all of those things, all of the above.
Okay, so somebody is saying that their last celeb crush is 5'6" and petite. But see, so you, okay, they cool with short men.
Okay.
Okay.
They ain't say who the celeb is?
Yeah, man, y'all got to say who the celeb is.
Uh-huh.
And also,
that's good information.
If you're listening to me, well, now, hold on now, what's going on with this thing, you know? She don't know, I done gonna be 50 this year.
Oh, 50.
The big 50.
Yeah.
That's right.
50 and fabulous.
Hello, somebody.
Hello.
So if you want to get in on this conversation, of course, you can send me a text message, 4224796.
Yes, this dating conversation.
Yes, 4224796. Send me a message. Let me know what you think. Have you ever dated a short actor to women who are taller?
Yeah.
You know, and some are and some aren't.
Yeah, some are. Because some tall guys are attracted to very petite short women, and that's
right.
What their preference, and that's okay if that's their preference.
Now, mind you, a lot of times, like when I see short men with women, I'm like, boy, you smart.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Like, you are the man. I bow and salute to you. Okay, hello, somebody. Okay, so Michaela, we're here, of course. You know, we're cracking jokes, but you know,
yeah,
we're talking about the divorce.
And, yes.
And, you know, that was something that I asked you about because, you know, watching the Safe Space podcast, of course, everyone is sharing their story.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see where Michaela was sharing her story.
Like, okay.
In little bites.
In little bits?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know what I realized, too, as a host? Ain't nobody's invite you to be the guest.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's crazy you said that because season 2, episode 1, I shared my story. I actually was the guest. Mm-hmm. And in season 3, episodes coming up, episode 7, I'm actually the guest.
Good.
So people can learn more about my story.
Because I believe that, and I've shared this on the radio a few times, where there's different roads to purpose.
Yeah.
And one of the roads, actually life. Mm-hmm. Like, where has life taken you? You know, it's a clue to where it is that you need to go. Because a lot of times, the person that you came for, it's you.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the important roles, because the experiences you get with life, you ain't get in a classroom and you ain't get nowhere else. Okay? So, yeah, life teaches you some stuff that you wouldn't find somewhere else.
No. Yeah. A lot of times, like, people ask me, okay, Stania, what is your bio? Send me a bio.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually say, okay, I'm a certified coach. I'm the founder of Eve's Journey. And I'm the host of Tell It to Stani. And of course, they're like, didn't you go to college? Yeah. You have a degree? Yes, I do. Didn't you work at school psych? Didn't you work at NTA? Like, what are you doing?
They want you to say it all. They want you to give the whole.
But you know what? I don't, because I feel as though that is just so people could think or believe in what I say.
Mm.
But the real story is that life prepared me to be who I am.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Wise,
yes. Yeah, life. That's the credentials right there. My life experiences is what has helped me to connect with people, to select the path that I'm on, to select the profession, to live a life of purpose, and everything else.
Yes.
It was life or God preparing
life and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And He prepares you for what is when there to come. When you didn't even know He prepared you.
Right. Exactly.
I'm like, God, you couldn't send me a text message or something? Nope.
Right.
So if I send it to you, you wouldn't go down this path.
Exactly.
So no. So life. And the Holy Spirit. Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. Now, how old were you when you got married?
I got married at a good age. I think I was 28.
Because you look 28 now.
Oh, I look 28?
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
I got married at 28. I was ready for marriage. I was ready for the marriage. I was ready for the kids. I remember before I met my ex-husband, I had broke up with somebody who I was dating for like 7 years. So when we broke up at 25, I was like, the next one? I am getting married because TikTok. I having these two kids by 30. Like, I was the one on that clock, just ready to do it. And sometimes I tell women just to slow down a little bit, even if that clock maybe.
But you know, as women, I don't know if men do this, but you know, we're like, okay, so by the time as I reach 20 something, I'm gonna be married. I'm gonna have.
I do not think men do that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think men do that. I know some men now who probably 40s, 50, and have not been married, no kids, and be like, when the time is right, it will happen. I'm like, wow.
And then when we meet the guy, let's say we go on a date. Okay, is this the one?
Yes.
Can I see myself with this person?
Exactly. And I feel like we're not enjoying. If we're not enjoying the date, if we're really talking from the first date, is it the one? Like, come on, enjoy the first date.
Yes.
Enjoy the conversation. Enjoy finding something new about yourself, about the person.
Yeah.
Ready? Is this the one? If it's not the one, no. Enjoy the date and learn something from that date. It might not be the one, but it's the one right now.
In this moment.
Yes, in this moment.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, we got some big,
but
big
I do have some friends who's stressful. Is it the one? I'm like, don't worry if it's the one. Just go out on the dates.
Exactly. Okay? Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself.
Can I get that free food? Hello.
I don't think he's the one, you know, so I won't go on a date. Go on the date.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not even always about the free food. It's about something in the conversation. They might teach you something that you might
to say that. Or yes. Even, you know, this may be for networking purposes. Yes. Or maybe there's something that you were supposed to pour into him.
That's very true. That's very true. And you need to be cognizant of that.
Yeah. Yes. And then even, you know, dating people, I think it's like the school.
Yes.
It is a life school, because now you're learning, like, what do you want? Mm. What do you need? Mm. And a lot of times, you know, we may say we want this thing, and then when it shows, we don't want that. So each person actually brings you closer to where it is that you say that you want to be and what it is that you say that you want.
Exactly. I like what you said just now, that you might be on that date to pour something into that person. I always think about dating as rediscovering myself.
No, it's not about you.
You know, so maybe it's not about me. Maybe it's me having to pour into them.
Yes.
Thanks, Tanya. See, I learned something already.
Thank you, Matt. Listen, I know one little something, you know. Now, I don't know plenty, but I know one little something.
Oh, gosh, thank you.
But yeah, a lot of times, you know, we think that it's about us, and sometimes it's not. It really, sometimes it's even to show a guy that you could have what you say that you want, or even, hey, that belief that you have, or even maybe sometimes things turn into a business relationship.
Yes, which is also purposeful.
So it just depends.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to really be open.
Or it might even be for you are your other single friend. You might say, oh, you ain't right for me, but you, right? I think you and my sis would get along very well, because y'all want the same things in life.
Do you think that we are open, or we're ready for that level of maturity too, to say that, like, you know, y'all know I talk plenty, hello. And I remember saying to a friend, I said, that was my sister we were talking. Yes, uh-huh, it was my sister, and we were having this conversation. And so I say, boy, sometimes as women, we need to understand or realize that another woman really better for that man than we are.
Yes, actually say that in the moment, but I think after you've gone too deep with the man and maybe already, you know, slept with him, you don't want, but if you just, you are a friend, you didn't do the physical thing, and he's better for somebody else,
let him go.
I think we could be mature enough to let the man go and be happy somewhere else, especially if it's for our friend.
Yes.
But after, you know, after something happened, you'd be like, you can't be around. You cannot be around a friend. So I think we just got to take our time and find out that person is for us first before we take it too far.
Okay, so you said you were 28.
I was 28 when I got married, and we were dating since I was 25. Okay. And so we dated about 3 years, and then we got married. We were married for 15 years, and then it ended in separation and then a divorce. So people always ask me, Michael, why did you get divorced? And I always say it is not simple, but I will try to simplify it. So anybody ever talk about yellow flags? Mm-hmm. When yellow flags tells you in dating, so it's not those red flags like, oh, bad, the person is toxic, run now, get away. No, but there's some yellow flags where you might just keep going and not go deeper. I think that I experienced that in dating. So these yellow flags, like my ex was extremely quiet, like extremely, but I'm like, oh, he's mysterious. Oh, he's a good listener. Oh, I could talk enough for both of us. Like I was that person, okay? And I kind of ignored how quiet he was until we got married, and we had such an emotional thing that happened to us. My daughter was born 1 pound premature. Premature. I was almost 6 months. I was thinking I was 5.5 months. And when she came, when I say I realized that he could not deal with anything emotional, he would shut down and he would kind of just disappear. Like he would find a way to disappear just so he couldn't deal with anything emotional. So when it comes to emotional stuff, I had to deal with everything or just take it on or just keep it to myself. So I think that happened about 3 years into our marriage, when my daughter was in the hospital for about 5 months. And then I ended up being admitted to the hospital, and he was, when I say nowhere to be found. And instead of speaking up, I became silent. And that's something that I look back and I'm like, why did you become silent? Like, why didn't you say, this hurt me, even though you knew this person didn't like confrontation? So I started to change. So I think my marriage didn't end 15 years, 4 years ago. It kind of ended a long time ago, but we weren't saying the words.
Okay, so, okay, a lot to unpack there.
Yes.
All right, so you said that, like, in retrospect, you think you can agree that, okay, he was very quiet.
Yes.
Okay, so why do you think...
He was very quiet.
Okay, why do you... What do you mean quiet, first of all? Let's explain that.
Oh, my gosh, quiet as in you share something, share something back. Like, he would kind of, like, maybe not let it go there and change the subject. But he was just like you thought he was just a great listener. Great listener. So just quiet. And everybody who knows him say, oh, yes, he's very quiet. He was always like that. So, yeah.
And you know what? I don't like that either.
You don't like quiet?
No, I like quiet. I do like quiet, but I also like conversation.
You like conversation.
And so, you know, a love language is, you know, this deep conversation.
Yes.
So for me, it's like, you know, people, you're inviting someone into your sacred space. And if you're in a relationship with someone, you have to communicate.
Yes.
If someone isn't talking, you don't even know who this person is, really.
And that's crazy how you say that, because my love language is communication. But you know what? I would have to say that I wasn't healed when I met him. I met him 3 weeks after I got out of a very long relationship that I thought I was going to marry somebody. And that person, we had our love language of communication. So I say, you know what? I don't need that. I don't want nobody who look anywhere like him, because he was a talker. He was everything put on the table, that type of thing. And I was like, you know what? I go on to the total opposite of now this one is quiet. Maybe this one is more safe. And quiet does not mean safe. Quiet could just mean quiet. You know, just out there, you know, just talking and everything, and he's the life of the party, doesn't mean that he is not safe and just like the opposite. So I was like, you know what? I mean, I'm just going to go the opposite. And that was not a good time for me to make a decision in that moment, because I wasn't healed. I didn't even take time to heal. I was like, next.
Wow.
Let's go. And I think that was the perfect time for me to take a step back and for the first time be single in my life. But I didn't recognize that. I wasn't as close to God as I am now to recognize that I need to be single. Single has a purpose. I need to be single. And I didn't stay single.
So, okay. Do you think, though, for you that it was, okay, you decided that you didn't want to be single? Because, you know, we get in that space where we decide that, you know what, like, enough is enough. I don't want to be in this state. And so when we meet someone, we now, you know, we making this happen. You know what I mean? We determine and we have decided that this... Why are you laughing, Michael? Because, you know, we get in that space.
I do, especially women. I think it was a couple of things. I never watched my mother be single. My mother was relationship to relationship. She was a single woman. And when one relationship ended, she already had the next boyfriend. And that's what I watched. So I thought that was normal. And that's what I did very much in my early dating stages, like, next, thinking it was normal. But I wasn't mature to say, I didn't even know what healing was at that point.
Wait, hold on, because see, hold on one second, Michael. Yes. Okay, this is the sticker pin. Okay, audience, once again, you know, I am big on this whole, how did we get here, and the parenting thing. And, you know, I keep on, last week when you listened to the story, and now, and he mentioned, you know, that his dad was a hustler, and that this is what he adopted, and this is what he got. So here it is, Michaela is now here, and she is sharing about her mom, that she would have watched her mom go from relationship to relationship. I'm pointing this out because this is how we became, or how we came to be.
Yes.
We modeled the behavior of our parents in many, many ways.
Yes, we do.
Okay, and this is why it's very important for us to actually be a certain way when we're dating, when we have children. Like, my mom passed, but I remember when my daughter finished high school, my mom said to me, she said, now you could date. And I remember I was like, what? What are you talking about? And so she said, but I did it with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, I can remember my mom only having two relationships.
Mm.
So, and they were long term, but I remember her being single periods of time.
Mm, you remember that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely. But there's a lot of people, a lot of us, that we have never actually been alone. We literally, your mom is not alone.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking to y'all right now, and I know I'm talking to many people right now. Many of y'all who are listening, y'all have never, ever been single. From y'all had the first relationship at whatever age, it's just been from woman to next woman to next woman, or from man to the next man, or switch over however y'all listen to
the thing. Never with yourself. Never loving on yourself. So I think my mom was in survival mode. She had my sister when she was 17 and me when she was 18. So when she graduated from high school, she had my sister. And I think that was very rough for her. So that was probably one way she coped. But now, guess what, guys? My mom is 65 now, still young, and she is single. Okay? And she is loving on herself. So I think it's, yeah.
By the way, yes. And mom looks...
Mom looks awesome.
Amazing.
Amazing. She's amazing. She's single. And I'm like, Mom, just take your time. When God will make it happen in the right time.
In
the right time. So that was one of the reasons. So I watched my mom in my early years never be single. And then that clock, that society clock would tell you, oh, you bet after you've done what you've got to do, be married and have kids. Like that's all a woman's supposed to do. That's how I felt. Like, I just want to be married and have my kids. And let's go. Let's do this. So it was the combination of those two that made me ignore some yellow flags.
Right, because this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yes, okay. This is what you're supposed to do. And girl, you 20-something, you want to have them by 30, you know. After 30, I think they call you high risk. Mm-hmm. After 30-something, they call you high risk. You want to have them and you want to, yeah.
Well, I had my daughter at 30, so.
At 30. Mm-hmm. I know somebody who's having their kids in their 40s. And they're good.
Oh, yeah.
And they're good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah. So it definitely was society. But yeah, I didn't even know what healing was at that time.
Okay.
I probably needed to heal, and I didn't even know what that was. I wasn't mature enough or close to God enough to know what that was. Yeah.
Okay. So when you look back, what do you think you needed to heal from?
Oh, I was discovering so much things that I need to heal from at time. That time, I would think that I just need to be by myself to find out who Michaela really was. Because right then, I was kind of conforming to what society thinks I should be or what whoever I'm dating thinks I should be or needs, instead of figuring out who I am. So when you know who you are and you have joy in yourself, when you date, you can tell if somebody adds to your joy or takes it away. I couldn't tell if that person was adding to my life or taking away from my life because I didn't know who I was. I wasn't in a great place.
The thing about it, and I just told a friend this morning that I said, I'm going to write a book. And I've been thinking about this all week. And I'm like, what's the name of this book? The name of the book is Growing Up at 49.
Growing Up at 49.
Yes, ma'am.
That's now.
Yes, ma'am.
Growing Up at 49.
Growing Up at 49. Yeah. And you know what? I remember, hi, Miss Connie. This is an older lady. She said, Miss Connie was, I think she's maybe 80. And Miss Connie said that the first 50 years of your life, she said, is theory. And then if God bless you with more than that, it's now practicum. It's practice.
I love that.
Okay. And she's right because, you know, you go through so many changes. You go through so many changes, you know, in life, male. A lot of times, you know, we think that we want something. And like I said earlier, and maybe that may be the thing for you at that time. Mm-hmm. But you're going to change. Yeah. You're going to evolve. Well, hopefully, you're going to evolve and your needs are going to change and yes. Your wants are going to change.
Yes.
And so you become this different person. And can this person really sustain who you are? Can they complement who you are?
Yeah, and that goes both ways. You know, as both of us change, can we change together and get to know each other again and evolve together? Like, are we going down the same path? And I think I didn't know about purpose. I didn't even discover. I thought purpose was this big thing, like people talk about, and it's like so far away from me, like all of that. Like at 20-something, I didn't learn that. And it's okay to not know it at 20-something. But yeah, when I look back, like I didn't know a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the yellow flags was that he was silent.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did that come back to kind of haunt you?
Oh, my gosh. When we moved in together after being married, I realized he worked 24/7. I think
we were dating before?
Nope. We were dating, and every time he said we were going on a date, he would be there. And we went on a date. Yes, he might have been silent at that date, but literally living with him, I realized he didn't come home until like after 9. So even when I was pregnant with my first child, who was a normal birth, he didn't come until after 9. So that's just literally he eating and going to bed. So it wasn't no time to create intimacy. It wasn't no workaholic. And in the first year of marriage, we went back into counseling. And I'm like, this can't work. So he was a workaholic. So he poured all himself into his work and nothing into his.
Okay, so there are some people who would say that, okay, well, you know, this is how a hardworking man, his life is like. What would you say to that?
I would say somebody who is, so life is so many things. Life is work and financial, but it's also your relationships. So if you let your relationships die and wither up, when you get to where you are financially, it's not going to be worth anything. So pour into both, figure out balance. But at that time, there was no balance. So I was home by myself, pregnant most of the times. The food had already been cooked, and he would just eat and go to bed. And sometimes it was him sleeping on the couch instead of coming to bed. And that happened very early in our marriage. So
when did y'all talk?
We talked when I decided to build the courage and talk. Like when I started to live with him, I realized it was not only quietness, it was like a distance that even if you tried to break down a wall, you couldn't break down that wall. Mm. Whether I started opening up more. Mm. So it started to make me like, oh my gosh, I am now dealing with something I don't even know what is going on.
And this happened early on in the marriage?
It happened very early in the marriage.
So how were you all able to stay for 15 years?
Because I stayed. I said, the Lord said, I cannot get divorced because our personalities are different. He said I could get divorced because of adultery. And I said, I will stay in this marriage. Even if I'm not happy, I will stay in this marriage and I will try. And I will try. So it wasn't until adultery happened that it was like, I'm gone. Yeah. And I didn't go the first time. It was the second time it happened.
Okay.
That I gone.
Now you.
Because at the first time when it happened, I started the healing process already with myself. And I'm like, you know, maybe this is actually going to make us better. You know, because I heard people who went through adultery and make them better. And they started talking again. And they started, you know, but no, it made it worse. So I'm like.
Okay,
I'm not staying.
Okay, one, you said that you built up the courage to have the conversation. Why did you have to build up the courage to speak with your husband?
Because when you're in a relationship that the person does not like to confront things, you start like almost like adjusting. When you start changing, it's not big stuff, you know. It's almost like small stuff. You just don't say anything just to make it more. You just have a pleasant dinner, and then it grows into something huge. So. If you're not comfortable speaking up with the person you're married to, something is already wrong. And I say, look deeper at that. So I used to be somebody who spoke up in the marriage, but I realized that made him very uncomfortable. And anytime we'd get close, it made him more comfortable. I started to pull back because I didn't want to make him uncomfortable. I didn't want to be that nagging wife. I didn't want to be that. I wanted things to be comfortable.
And did that
comfortable.
Work out?
Oh, it did not work out because I started to lose myself because I am that person who speaks up. And I became very, very silent for about 10 years. I became very, very silent. Yeah.
So it took your voice.
Yeah, it took my voice, exactly. The marriage literally took my voice and drained every living thing out of me. And then I started to find my voice again.
So, okay, how did we get into actually him committing adultery? Because he had all this time for right now.
They make time.
Boy, listen.
Like I said to people, the marriage is very distant, so I wouldn't say it didn't shock me. I think I was surprised at the time, but when I look back, the marriage is very distant for years and years, even though we had decided that we were going to stay. So it was, the first time, I still wanted to work on our marriage because I'm like, you know what, now we could go to counseling, just lay all our cards on the table, just say who we are now. I could get to know the real him, he gets to know the real me, and this person is who this person is, and I got to believe them. If their actions is saying, I am this, I might ask him, do you want this marriage? He's like, yes, I want a marriage. Your actions show if you want
the marriage.
Yeah. Your words, no. It's just air unless your actions align with your words. And his actions did not align with his words at all.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, okay, wait, hold on, let me give this nice little thing for what I do. Okay, hold on. I work with misunderstood women, helping them to move on. You see, this is a nice thing. I done messed it up. But to move on from a relationship and be in peace and not pieces.
Yes.
Now, a lot of times they come to me and they're like, okay, you know, Stania, I don't want, you know, I don't want my marriage to end. I don't want to lose my marriage. I don't want a divorce. And so, you know, I'm looking at them and then I'm like, can I say something? And anytime I say that, Michaela, no. See how you laughing?
It's the truth.
Woman.
Like you got
something
the truth.
Something come in. Yes. So I normally say, can I say something? Mm-hmm. Boo boo, your marriage been over.
Mm-hmm.
What you are afraid of, you are facing your living.
Yes.
Because there is no relationship.
Yes. Yes.
There is no relationship.
And I think we're in denial that image of being married. We still want the kids, you know, growing up in this two-parent household. We don't want to start over. So, yeah, we stay in denial for a while sometimes.
I remember my grandmother. Now, I adored my grandfather. Mm. I mean, adored.
Adored your grandfather.
Yes,
wow.
He was, the word for the day, amazing. Okay. And so I remember many, many years later, because my granddad would have died in the 80s. Mm. I was like 1985. Mm. And so I'm driving with my grandmother. And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, I know you did Love Pa and blah, blah. And she said, I never loved Pa. And I was like, what? What? I mean, I said, Ma, how could you say that? And you stayed with him all those years.
Yes.
And you know what she said?
Mm-hmm.
She said, I stayed with him because I wanted my sons to have a father.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, of course, that resonated with me. So we stay in many different reasons. We stay for all kind of foolishness.
And with your Grammy saying that, I remember different people I've dated was like, marriages was better in those days. Not necessarily, but they stayed. Like, I guess more women are leaving or calling it quits now when they're in a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But they're thinking, you know, marriages were better in that days. No, the women just didn't leave.
Right, they stayed.
They didn't leave, they stayed. You know, for different reasons.
And by the way, there are men who stay for the kids as well. A gentleman comes to mind. I can't call his name. And I remember he always said, listen, when my daughter go off to college, I am leaving her.
He stayed because of the kids.
Yeah. And I was like, no, you're not. You could be right there. Okay. So years went by and I went to them. He said, Stania, you know, I got a divorce, right?
So he waited till the kids.
Yes, he did.
Went to college.
The minute.
And that's why you wonder, oh my God, you've been married for 25 years, but how come you get divorced at that? Because they were just waiting it out until the kids was...
Yes, the minute his daughter went off to college.
Wow, the minute.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
He filed.
Wow.
He filed right away. So literally, like, he took her away, he went with his wife, came back, and he went to the lawyer.
He just knew. Not even trying to see if we still... compatible, we ain't.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And let me say this, he is actually now in a very loving relationship with someone, so he's very happy too.
Okay, so men sometimes stay for...
They stay for children too.
For the children or different reasons for their covenant.
What is another yellow flag you think? And someone just messaged me saying that they're enjoying the conversation.
Oh, thank you. You are enjoying that conversation. So a yellow flag for me is when you're opening up about your life, you're sharing something about, you know, you're opening up a little bit. You know, this is not the first day. This is not the second day. This is not the third day. We're opening up and the person does not open up. The person does not even give you, even in friendship, like you're sharing things about you as a friend and somebody is like, you know, not sharing.
Yeah.
They ain't even quiet. They could talk about other stuff. They talk a lot about surface stuff, but they're not sharing anything in depth.
That's not a safe space.
Yes.
It's not a safe space.
When somebody does not want to go deeper than the surface, I think that's a yellow flag. Even though you all are continually conversating and getting to know each other and they just want to stay at that surface level because it might be trauma that's there where they don't want you to know.
So would you say now, because like I said, you know, we learn and relationships are powerful. This is the place where we learn who we are. Who we are not.
Yeah.
We learn what we need, what we want, what we prefer.
Yeah.
It's the place where we learn about forgiveness, communication.
And
all of our stuff come to the surface. So let me ask you this, Michaela.
Wow.
Would you say that at this point, like, what do you think you need now in terms, like, do you need someone who is a communicator? Like, what do you need from this? Not even want, need.
Need. I need somebody who loves God and is asking God about me. He ain't going to ask the world about me. He going to God and say how to love this woman properly. Mm-hmm. And then when God tell him how to love me properly, he's obedient. And then I feel like, you know, when I see that he is serving God, he's obedient to God, then I'm going to choose to submit to that man. Like, I'm an independent woman. Yes, I am. I have children. I have to show up for them.
Right.
But I'm going to choose to submit to the man who's submitting to God. So I need somebody who is submitting to God. I need somebody who has vision and he could communicate that vision. Like, come on, we can't just be like out here just doing nothing. Tell me what your vision is for our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Is everything and be able to communicate that and be able to communicate those type of stuff and the hard stuff. So, if something about me that you could see that it's not in my best interest, like I am hurting myself, tell me, Michaela, you need to change. Like, somebody could confront me and tell me this is what I see.
Okay, now, you know, a lot of times, this is a slippery slope. Anyway, okay, so we hear, anyway, I go have a day.
Go on a slippery slope,
Where we say, okay, you know, men are leaders and, you know, all men are leaders. In reality, now we know, some ain't leading, can't lead out the wet paper bag, right? So, I've told women, or when women say this, so I said, well, maybe those are not the men that you should select.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful who we select. Because as a woman, if you are dating a person and you don't respect this person, you don't need to marry that person. You don't even need to be with that person. Yeah. You don't need to be with that person.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. Like, you have to, you're selecting the king.
You're selecting the king of your home.
Right, you select. Yes. So the king of, and women, I'm talking to you right now. You know, do you feel as though your man right now, what kind of king did you select?
And yeah, it's like he's going to be the leader of your house. Are you going to be able to submit to this man? Are you going to respect this man? The decisions that he makes, you're going to say, you know what? Whatever decision he makes, I know he makes it for the best interest of us. Are you going to trust him in that way wholeheartedly? It's like, that's a big thing to do. So you got to kind of submit your all and say, you know what? I trust him. If he say he could do that, I know he could do that. And if he asks me my opinion and it don't happen to agree with his, and he's still making a decision, can I still trust that that's the decision that God told him to make?
Okay.
The Holy Spirit told him to make. And I just probably ain't seen something that God showed him. Can you trust that man? Sometimes he's not going to be the leader in everything, you know, but he might be smart enough to know that Michaela is great with budgeting. Yes. Let me trust her in that area. But a leader knows when he could take the lead, and he knows when also to say, sit back and let me and my wife do that, because my wife is better in that, and God showed me that she's better in that.
Yes, you know? And that's very powerful. I mean, seriously now, a good leader knows actually that his strength also lies in the team, too.
Yes, the team.
You understand
the
what
team,
I'm saying?
The partnership.
Partnership. The leader knows that he doesn't necessarily needs to have all of the answers.
Yes.
And he recognizes that someone on this team,
yes,
they have a better answer for this
than I do.
And that's okay. That doesn't diminish me or diminish my role or me as a man.
Yes, because I'm your helpmate. Some things I can help with. Come and tell me what's going on. You know, if you see that I am somebody who can be, you know, I'm a safe space. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Good day. Ask your guest why she wants the man to ask God what she wants. Can she tell him what she wants? We grow as couples and learn as we grow.
Yes, I can definitely tell a man what I want to communicate, but I feel like when a man is going to God, that's a whole deeper level. Mm-hmm. He going to God first before he even come to me to see how to love me properly. And then guess what? I'm going to probably communicate those same things that God communicated to him so that we both will be in alignment. You see, I'm not saying that I can't communicate to him, but I'm saying that a man who's submitting to God, who goes to God first in everything, every aspect of his life, he will go to God first and say, how can I love my wife better? And then I'm going to be able to tell him also. So that's an addition. So I can do both, because I'm very well outspoken, but I do want somebody who goes to God. I will also go to God and say how I can serve this man better.
Right.
So almost like going in your separate prayer closets and then coming together. Mm-hmm. Okay. And listening to the Holy Spirit for both, separate and together.
Right. Okay. Good stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So
I could definitely say, hey, I need you to get my hair done. Love me better, but get my hair done. And get God to say, no, she need that. So yes, all of that. So sometimes us women, we can communicate, but sometimes we don't even know what we need. God knows us even better than us.
Sometimes we don't.
So we don't even know what we need.
No. Listen, we're so confused. Eh?
Yes. But I can definitely communicate what I need at the level of the wisdom that I do know that I think I need. Yes.
Now, in a prior conversation, you had said, like, I mean, and you said this today too. Okay, when people show you who they are, believe them. What did they show you? What did he show you before that maybe you didn't take to heart? And now it's like really kind. And let me tell you something. People are always telling you who they are. You know, they're telling you either verbally or non-verbally. But it comes out and we just ignore it. We say, full speed ahead.
I think in the actions, he was like kind of showing me that he maybe did not want the marriage, or he was done fighting for the marriage. But I just was the one keep pushing it. Hey, let's go to another counselor. Hey, let's read this book. Hey, let's go to this small group about marriage. So I think I was always the one like pulling him along. Like I had the vision and he was doing
most of the work.
Back in the ring with me to start doing the work. So at that point, I think I should just, you know what, step back and let him.
So
let
at what
him.
Point did you let go?
Totally.
Yeah.
So I left after the second adultery and I still.
Was it with the same person or?
It was the same person who said, they stopped. So a year and a half later, it was the same person. Literally, when I moved out of after that, I literally still had hope. I still had hope. And mm-hmm. I went and I did a fast. I did my fast for that 2 months fast. I still had hope. Oh my God. Then the Holy Spirit, listen, Tanya.
Oh my God.
The Holy Spirit said, go back home. I'm like, what? Go back home for what? I already gone from the house. Go back home for what? I thought, okay, maybe he's changed. Maybe it's going to be a miraculous something. When I went back home, and the Holy Spirit said, when you go back home, you say nothing. You stay silent until I tell you to speak. I went back home. I thought I was going to see this miraculous change. I thought I was going to see a new person. It was the same person times 100 more distance. And at that point, the Holy Spirit said, now you speak, and now you know it's over. And now you can leave with knowing that you've done all you can.
Yes. Wow.
So I still had, guys, I still had hope. I impressed. I love marriage. I love the covenant. I love seeing the beauty in people, and I still wanted my marriage to work. But when he released me, I was released, and I knew, Michael, you did he could to save your marriage. Because at that point, when I went back into the house, he was not even, he used to be a person who just listened, doesn't say anything. Like, he wouldn't even listen to me anymore. It was like, I tried to speak, he would suck his teeth and walk out. It was like nothing there. Almost like he hated me. Like, he didn't even want me back in the home. And I was like, wow. When somebody shows you who they are, is maybe when I left, it was like, finally she left. I don't know what it was, but it was like, believe them. And after you believe them, put them where they belong. Because you could love somebody from afar. You could love somebody from afar, from a distance. And you could bless. You could say, God bless you, and love them from afar.
So what was it like starting over?
Oh my gosh. It was so painful, and it was so scary, because the Holy Spirit told me, when he did say you released, he said, and you do not accept a number from anybody in the next year. You don't know, even talking, don't even texting, nothing. So that was very hard for me, because that was the part of it. The first time that I was actually single, not entertaining anybody. Like, it was just me.
So you took time.
And the Lord. I took time mm-hmm. to get to know him again, the Lord, and time to get without the branch of wife, without mother all times. You know, I had this downtime now. They would spend time with their dad. So I had this downtime to now rediscover who I was. What I'm saying is that rediscovery and healing, guys, it sounds good, but it is so, so painful. So I realized that, you know, I went into that marriage with a lot of trauma that I had to now unpack, in addition to the divorce. Like, the divorce kind of stripped me down to know that, hey, now it's time. Ain't no more pushing this back. It's time right now. So it was quite painful, but it was also quite purposeful, because I got closer to God in that moment. I definitely did. I rediscovered who I am, and I stopped checking for what society said about me. I stopped checking for what, who care if I married or not. I stopped checking for what people say. It was no more people pleasing. It was, this is who I am. I'm going to show up as my authentic self. Take it or leave it. Okay, so you might lose a friend during the journey. So definitely found purpose. And when I started to go through all that pain, I created a Safe Space podcast, because I said, if I could help just one woman not to experience the loneliness I felt when I was going through divorce, then I feel like I would have made a difference. And through that process, mm-hmm. I just met so many women and men, especially women who are going through so much. And all I see in our Bahamian women is resilience. I'm like, my God, we Bahamian women are resilient when they tell you what they've gone through, but you can't see it. With them walking around, you can't see it. They show up still as their best self. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God, you know what? Thank you for this experience. Even though I wouldn't have chosen divorce, thank you for this ministry, because women come back to me and say, Michael, thank you for sharing your story. And now I can share my story. And I'm like, you know what? That for me is it. Is so it? Yeah.
This is a tough question. Okay, let's say, by the way, is he still with the person who he was seeing?
No, he is not still with that person, but he is definitely getting married. Yes.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have a question. This mm-hmm. is a deep question.
It's a deep question.
Yeah, okay. If he was a guest here, what would his version of things be? Like, from through his eyes, what do you think?
So, Stanya, like, I used to spend a lot of time trying to figure out what would he say, you know, and that took so much energy from me, because he never said it. We even never had closure. Like, it was like I spoke and I told him why, and you know what, I'm so sorry that, you know, I said forever, but it can't set anything back. So it was never any closure. So I don't even know what he would say.
Do you think he was even ready for marriage?
I don't think he was ready for marriage. I think he probably had healing he needed to do on his own, and he didn't even know that he had healing.
Because,
you
know, when I asked, like, what his version would be, it doesn't necessarily mean that you did something. I mean, although in some of these...
Oh, yeah, I did do some things. Like, I don't think any marriage goes, like, it's just one person. So, like I said, I wasn't healed when I married him. I was on a time, clock. I was silent with things I should have spoken up about. And maybe if I spoken up, maybe he would have done, I don't know if he would have done a 360 if I spoke up earlier, you know? So it's definitely things I did. Sometimes when I was independent, when I could have been, you know, more, what's the word, is that interdependent? Mm-hmm. So, but that was through survival. So I think it's things that I did that I'm not going to do if I get married again, you know, I'm not going to be independent. No, I'm going to be soft and I need you to show up for me. So it's like, I don't know what he would say. And it drained me to keep trying to figure out what he would say. And I'm like, he never said it. I wish he would say, this is why I didn't show up for you and our daughter when we were in the hospital. This is why I cheated. This is why, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I wish he would say those things.
You said
you know?
Something very powerful. Because a lot of times, you know, people say that, okay, who we date sometimes can mirror who we are. Mm-hmm. And you said two very important. See, I talk plenty now.
He wasn't healed.
But I listen a lot. So you said two things. One was that you said, right, you were not healed.
I was not healed. Uh-huh.
And clearly, if he's silent like this, there's some things he's clearly holding on to.
Yes.
So which suggests that he needs some little healing too.
Yes.
But you also said that you were silent about things too.
I was.
Yes. And so he was silent and you were silent as well.
I wasn't silent at the beginning of our marriage, but after something very emotional, like I'm a survival for my daughter to survive. She's in the NICU for months. Like, I have to breastfeed, no milk coming from my breast. I have to go to the hospital 3 times a day. I can't even deal with the fact that I have to now go in survival mode and show up for my daughter. It was points where he wouldn't even come to the hospital. He would not even he never even dropped me to the hospital. I still had to drive to the hospital 3 times a day. It's like he never said, let me do this for you one day and you rest. I went in total survival mode of my daughter needs me and I don't know how we're going to make it, but God, show me what to do every day.
But okay, hold on now.
After that, I went silent. That was about 3 years. Yeah, yeah.
This level, he was never like this during the courting period.
No.
Come on, for how silent
he would show
us. And for, hold on 1 second, and
no,
for you say that he didn't even come to the hospital, how did he go from this into this other thing just months in between? I don't understand.
You don't understand, but it's him and I never experienced anything emotional in a negative way during dating. Sometimes you don't get to see all the parts of a person that he couldn't handle, he couldn't deal with. That didn't happen till we were married.
Okay.
That something emotional happened that happened to us. You know,
so
in the dating, it was all he showed up. If he said he's going to show up here, he showed up. Like, I thought that he would at least show up physically all times.
Hold on. Did y'all ever have like an argument during the court, like a big serious argument? I'm not talking about a little argument, but a serious argument where you guys were mad. Like, how did he respond then?
Yeah, we did. It was more me having the argument and he would say, okay, babe. Yeah. That's it. So it's more me having an argument, and then he would quickly kind of like brush it off to say, yeah, okay.
That could be
a yellow flag too.
Because
so it was not us talking about the argument and how it's going to be better, but it was more like, yeah, okay, it's quickly kind of.
Right.
Yes. Like, that's submission? Yes. Okay. So it was yes, okay.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So, yes. But we did have arguments. I used to speak up a lot. A lot of time, my sister would be like, girl, you need to
take it down a notch.
Because I think, I remember having a big argument when we were.
Did he propose?
At the beginning
he proposed?
Again. He proposed, and he proposed. Like, we talked about that. He wanted marriage. So 2 years in, he proposed. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
This is interesting.
Yeah, he did. Okay. And we thought we both were ready. I don't want you to think that we thought we both were ready. I don't want you to think that I didn't want marriage. I wanted marriage. I wanted the kids. He wanted marriage. He wanted the kids. We both had great jobs. He was a Christian. I was a Christian. We both thought we had enough in us to make it work.
Well, you know, sometimes when people think that, okay, both of us are Christians, this means that we're meant to be together.
Not really.
And we're going to stay. So is he? Okay, now, you know, there people can be a bad wife or a bad husband.
No, he's not a bad person. I don't think he's not a bad person. He's a good father.
But see, you ain't
he's a good
finish.
Father.
Oh, excuse me, ma'am. Just okay, stand down. Stand down, ma'am. Thanks. So what I was getting ready to say actually was that, okay, he may not have been a good husband mm-hmm. or, like I said, in some cases, a good wife, but it doesn't mean that they're a bad mother
yeah,
or father. So that's what actually was getting ready to say.
It doesn't. He's a good father, and we co-parent well together. Okay. Once we take the emotions out of it and we say it's best for the kids, we have that conversation about the kids, and we know that it's about the kids, and we communicate well about our kids.
Okay, so
yes,
that's
he's a
good
father. Yes.
Okay, so I know it's 2 o'clock, so we got to wrap this up. So are you dating now?
I am dating. Yes, I am.
Okay.
And I call it single again. Okay, second time around, it's gonna be better.
Well, Michaela, the only thing left for you to say just now, you know what I heard just now? Single again.
Single
back
again.
Back on the prowl. Anyway, listen.
It's gonna be better. Okay, that's why I say it's gonna be better. So I'm just hopeful for the future, and I want anybody who's divorced just to know that with God, you can create a better future, the life that you want. So just take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and keep listening to God's voice.
Our time is done. And listen, Brittany being a little nice, she behaving a little bit.
Because we started late, remember?
You know, you ain't working for Dwight no more. I even see Dwight send me no dirty message. Anyhow, where can we find the Safe Space podcast, and when are we getting started?
You can find the Safe Space podcast on YouTube at a Safe Space _ podcast. You can catch up on season 1 and season 2. So, but when you're catching up, please subscribe, because season 3 will be out in September very soon. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram, a Safe Space podcast 242.
And by the way, Michaela has a new little person at the end of
each
episode.
Yes, at the end of each episode, you will get tips from our counselor on healing. Our counselor, Miss Stanya. Okay, she's my counselor for a Safe Space podcast, season 3. Okay, and guess what? We aligned with purpose.
Now, before we end, I want to say thank you, definitely, Michaela, for being a part of the show.
Thank you.
And sharing your journey.
Thank you.
And I also want to invite persons. Okay, we're getting ready to do the I Must Love Myself Enough project. It's a 7-day program. Guys, it's only for the women. Y'all go get your own program. Okay, hello. That's right. So 7-day program. So if you're going through a divorce, a separation, or maybe you're someone who has some little mommy issues, daddy issues. Like I said, you know, I like to talk about parenting and how we need to give our mommy back her stuff and give your daddy back their stuff too. If you want to do the self-work, I want to invite you to be a part of the 7-day program. You can do it in different ways. One way is you can strictly do it on your own, where for 7 days you get an activity for you to complete on your own to your email. Now, I'm a little nosy, as you all know, so you still have to send me the responses so I know you're doing it. Okay, or you can join us for 7 days. I'll lead the session, and it's just a small group, but it's a whole lot of happening. It's a whole lot of stuff that happens this week or that week. We go through purpose, we go through fear, we go through your mommy stuff, we go through forgiving yourself. We go through a whole lot of things. So I want to invite you, if you're interested, I want you to send me, you can give me a call, 451-6767. Guys, I don't need y'all to call me, okay? I don't need y'all to, unless y'all calling the sponsor, tell it to Stania, don't call me. Especially if you're short and petite. No, I'm only kidding.
I tell you, be open, Stania, be open.
I'm just kidding. But seriously, if you know that something is not right, women, and you feel like you're constantly being misunderstood, it's time for you to do the work. So I want you to join me. We're doing this the last week in September, September 24th to the 30th. So if you're interested in being a part of our small group, give me a call, 451-6767. With that, we're going to end. And also, listen, I have some little news. I think it's news. I have to speak to Dwight about this, but I think something could be happening in September with Tell It to Stania. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
So y'all have a good weekend. I'm going to go and stuff my gut. Uh-huh. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's find out together on Tell It to Stania.